Chapter 17. A Troublesome Day. Friday morning, on the day after the accursed séance, the Variety's entire staff were sitting on the windowsills facing Sadovaya and gazing at what transpired below by the wall of the Variety. A queue, numbering many thousands, stretched along this wall, two rows strong. The line carried on excitedly as it busily discussed the tantalizing tales of yesterday's incredible séance of black magic. The tales greatly flustered the bookkeeper, Vasily Stepanovich, who was not present at yesterday's show. He had no idea what action to take, and at the same time action absolutely had to be taken, and by none other than him, for he was the highest-ranking official in the Variety's entire remaining crew. Inside the Variety, things were also far from perfect. From the crack of dawn, telephones began ringing in Likhodiev's office, Rimsky's office, the bookkeeping department, the box office, and Varyonika's office. At first, Vasily Stepanovich tried to answer the calls. The cashier would also pick up the phone, the ushers would mutter something into the receivers, but finally they gave up altogether. After all, there was absolutely nothing to say to demands for the whereabouts of Likhodiev, Varyonika, and Rimsky. At 10:30, the police arrived. Their first and completely logical question was, "What's going on here, folks?" The crew stepped back, leaving behind a pale and tense Vasily Stepanovich. There was little choice but to call things by their proper names and admit that the Variety's administration, in the persons of the director, the finance director, and the manager, had vanished to places unknown. In a short while, detectives appeared in the building. The investigation headquartered itself in Varyonika's office, where all Variety staff members who had witnessed the events of yesterday's séance were summoned, one by one. It should be noted that at every step the detectives were accosted by unforeseen difficulties. The thread kept tearing in their hands. Were there posters? Yes, but during the night they had been plastered over with new ones, and now, so strike me dead, there wasn't a single one left. Where did this magician come from, anyway? Who knew? So then, there must have been a contract. Not a trace of the contract could be found. Not in the bookkeeping office, not in the finance director's, not in Likhodiev's, not in Varyonika's. So what was the magician's name? Vasily Stepanovich had no idea, as he was not at last night's séance. The ushers did not know. The cashier frowned and frowned, thought and thought, and finally said, Volant, I think. Or perhaps it was not Volant, perhaps not, perhaps it was Falland. It was quickly determined that the Travellers Bureau had heard absolutely nothing of any magicians, be they Volants or Falants. The messenger Karpov reported that the magician was apparently staying at Likhodiev's apartment. The apartment was immediately inspected. No magicians were found. Likhodiev himself was missing as well. Grunia, the maid, was missing, and no one knew where she had gone. The chairman of the Tenants' Association, Nikonor Ivanovich, was missing. Proliezhnev was missing. Noon approached, and the box office was due to open. But of course, this was entirely out of the question. A giant piece of cardboard was immediately hung on the doors of the Variety, bearing the words, "Today's performance is cancelled." Unrest spread through the queue from the head down, but nonetheless it began to break up, and an hour later there was not a trace of it left. Two urgent tasks now lay before Vasily Stepanovich, the bookkeeper. The first was to go to the Commission on Shows and Lighter Entertainment and report on yesterday's events. The second was to drop by the entertainment financial sector in order to turn in yesterday's earnings. 21,711 rubles. The careful and responsible Vasily Stepanovich wrapped the money in a newspaper, tied it up with string, and placed the package in his briefcase. Knowing the procedure well, he headed for the taxi stand instead of the bus or tram stop. An empty cab came by a few minutes later, and the driver grimaced as soon as he saw the passenger. "Show me the money." The bookkeeper stuck the precious briefcase under his arm, pulled a 10 out of his wallet, and showed it to the driver.
"No way. Got any threes?"
Utterly confused, the bookkeeper pulled out 2 threes and showed them to the driver.
"Get in," the man shouted. "Let's go."
"No change, is that it?"
the bookkeeper asked sheepishly.
"A pocket chock full of change,"
the driver bawled, and his bloodshot eyes appeared in the rearview mirror.
"Third time today. Some son of a bitch gives me a 10, I give him change, 4.50, so he gets out, the bastard. 5 minutes later, I look, instead of a 10, it's a label from a seltzer bottle. Yesterday at the Variety, some scum of a magician performed a seance with 10-ruble bills."
The stupefied bookkeeper shivered and pretended he had never heard the word variety before in his life. Upon arriving at his destination and paying the driver without incident, the bookkeeper entered the building and headed down the hall to the secretary's office, which served as the anteroom of the commission chairman's office. A menacing voice came from behind the closed door, undoubtedly belonging to Prokhor Petrovich, the chairman of the commission. In a leather armchair lay Prokhor Petrovich's personal secretary, the beautiful Anna Richardovna. She was weeping uncontrollably. Seeing someone come in, Anna Richardovna jumped up, dashed to the bookkeeper, and clutching at the lapels of his jacket, she dragged the bookkeeper into the main office. The first thing the bookkeeper did in the office was drop his briefcase, even as every thought in his head turned upside down, and, one must say, with good reason. Behind a giant desk with a massive inkwell sat an empty suit, moving a dry, inkless pen across a piece of paper. The suit possessed a tie, and a fountain pen was sticking out of the jacket pocket, but neither neck nor head was present above the collar, just as no hands peeped out of the sleeves. The suit was immersed in its work, completely ignoring the chaos that reigned all around. Hearing someone enter, the suit sat back in its chair, and Prokhor Petrovich's familiar voice rang out from above the collar.
"What is it? The sign on the door clearly says I am not available."
The bookkeeper felt his legs begin to shake and sat down on the corner of a chair, remembering, however, to pick up his briefcase. Anna Richardovna ran up to the desk.
"Prosha, where are you?"
"Who are you to call me Prosha?"
the suit inquired disdainfully, sitting even further back in its chair.
"He doesn't recognize me. Me, you see?"
"I'll thank you not to wail in my office,"
said the irritable striped suit.
"No, I can't bear to look at it. I just can't,"
Anna Richardovna cried, and ran back to the secretary's office, the bookkeeper racing behind her like a speeding bullet.
"Imagine, I'm sitting here," Anna Richardovna narrated, "and then a cat walks in. Black, huge. I naturally yell, 'Shoo!' The cat leaves, and this fat man walks in instead, also with a cat-like face, and says, 'Why are you shooing at the visitors, ma'am?' And the insolent bastard goes straight to Prokhor Petrovich and sits down in a chair opposite him. He just explodes. 'How dare you barge in here unannounced?
Get him out of here, devil take me!'
And the other one, just imagine, smiles and says, 'Devil take you, that can be arranged.' And boom, I didn't even have time to scream. The cat-faced guy is gone, and the suit is just sitting there. Everyone ran away faster than rabbits."
The bookkeeper could only stand there and shake. But fate suddenly came to his rescue. The police, numbering 2 people, entered the office in a calm, business-like manner, while the bookkeeper, judging his continued presence to be most unnecessary, was back outdoors a minute later. The Entertainment Commission's branch was situated in an old peeling mansion set back from the street, famous for the porphyry columns in its front hall. It was not the columns that awed visitors to the branch that day, however, but that which happened between them. Several visitors stood dumbfounded and stared at a girl sitting at a table covered with special entertainment-related literature.
"Excuse me, miss,"
Vasily Stepanovich addressed the girl suddenly.
"Have you had a black cat come in here a while back?"
"Cat!"
the girl yelled angrily.
"We've got an ass in charge here! I'm telling everything!"
And indeed went on to relate what happened.
It turned out that the manager of the branch office suffered from a manic habit of forming various clubs for the employees.
Over the course of the year, the manager had already organised a chess and checkers, a ping-pong, and a horseback riding club. By summertime, he threatened a freshwater rowing club and a rock-climbing club. And then today, during lunch break, the manager walked in.
"And he's got this son of a bitch on his arm,"
the girl narrated.
"Checked pants, cracked pince-nez, and with this absolutely impossible filthy face."
According to the girl, the manager immediately introduced him to everyone in the lunchroom as a known specialist in the field of organising choruses. To set an example, the manager announced that he had a fine tenor. And then it all went on like a bad dream. The checkered choirmaster specialist began to whine, snivel, tap the tuning fork on his palm, and beg them to strike up Grand Old Seascape. So they struck it up, and struck it up gloriously. The checkered fellow clearly knew his business. They finished the first verse. Here the choirmaster excused himself, said,
"I'll just be a minute,"
and vanished. 10 minutes passed, and he was still gone. Joy spread among the employees. The choirmaster had bolted. And suddenly, they began the second verse all by themselves. They finished singing. No choirmaster. They went back to their places, but had not even had time to sit down, when, against their will, they started singing again. Stop? Not a chance. A few minutes of silence, and they would strike up again. Silence. Strike up! Then they realised they were in trouble. The disgraced manager locked himself in his office. A quarter of an hour later, three trucks approached the mansion's fence on Vagankovsky and were boarded by the entire staff led by the manager. As soon as the first truck rocked in the gateway and drove out into the lane, the employees, who were standing in the back and holding each other's shoulders, opened their mouths. The lane was filled with a popular song. The second truck joined the first, and then so did the third. And off they went. Unsurprised pedestrians, hurrying about their business, barely looked up at the trucks, assuming that a group tour was heading out to the country. The trucks were indeed headed out to the country, but the tour would end at Professor Stravinsky's clinic. Half an hour later, the utterly bewildered bookkeeper reached the entertainment financial sector, hoping to finally get rid of the cash. Taught by bitter experience, he first peeped cautiously into the oblong hall, where the clerks were sitting behind matted glass barriers with gold lettering. The bookkeeper could not detect any sign of alarm or disruption. The place was quiet, as any respectable establishment should be. Vasily Stepanovich stuck his head in the window labelled Cash Deposits, greeted the unknown clerk, and asked politely for a deposit slip. "What for?" the clerk in the window asked. The bookkeeper was astonished.
"I wish to make a deposit. I'm from the Variety."
"How much do you have?" the clerk asked.
21,711 rubles.
"Whoa," the clerk said ironically for some reason, and handed the bookkeeper a green slip. Knowing the form well, the bookkeeper filled it out in an instant and began to untie the string binding his package. As soon as he opened his bundle, his vision blurred and he moaned painfully. Foreign money of all sorts flashed before his eyes. Here lay stacks of Canadian dollars, English pounds, Dutch guldens, Latvian larts, Estonian kroonies.
"Here he is, one of those jokers from the Variety,"
a menacing voice boomed above the dumbstruck bookkeeper. And Vasily Stepanovich was arrested on the spot.